Welcome to episode 152 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. When I set out to capture pictures for a client, I always tell them that the more information I have ahead of a shoot, the better. When I'm writing a feature, especially if it's photo-heavy, I always set out with a strong underlying idea from which to work. And the same, of course, is true with my personal work too. Now, I've been pitching quite a few ideas to magazines recently, so with this in mind, this week's show features a related recording which I made a few weeks ago. In it, I'm talking about why it's so important to plan and prepare when embarking on any form of storytelling, whether that be using the medium of moving image or stills photography. So, welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 152. It's just after 11 o'clock in the morning, and I am heading back from a school where I have just completed the last of a six-week course, which I've been teaching, for some GCSE students. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, what's that got to do with you being a photographer? The thing is, as many of you know, I have various fingers in different pies. I'm a photographer, I'm a writer, and I also love spreading the word. No great surprise there, obviously, with the podcast and the website. But what really gives me a lot of pleasure and enthusiasm myself is being able to help other people develop their interest in photography or the visual arts. And I say the visual arts because, this will become apparent in a moment. So, I'll give you a quick overview of the course that I've just been leading. But the bigger issue is that of thinking through what you're trying to do on photo shoots and when putting together visual projects. So, here's the thing. I have been working with these students who, as part of their GCSE course, have to put together a 3-minute movie trailer. Now, obviously that is moving image, it's not stills, but when we talk about cinematography, essentially that comes down to the practice of photography, image making, and a lot of the techniques which are shared. So we started off in the early sessions talking about things like different camera angles, depth of field, shallow or sort of vast areas of focus, say the rule of thirds, composition, all this sort of thing. The stuff that, as a filmmaker, you have to think about, and in some ways, that is, if not equally important, then more important, or vice versa. For example, cutaway shots, detail shots that I would shoot in the course of an assignment to build a story, that does the same thing with movies. So, for example, a close-up on a tree, for example, with people running away in the background or whatever it might be, it gives a sense of, yeah, it tells the story, whether you're creating some sense of uneasiness, some drama, whatever it might be. So these were film students, and what it made very clear to me, which I already knew, but actually working with this fresh bunch of boys and girls made clear to me, was that planning, and I've known this for years, planning is so important when you want to tell a story. Now, excuse me, in movie making, of course, very typically you will storyboard your film. So you'll have scene by scene, you'll have the cutaways, the wide shots, the detail shots, the establishing shots for the characters, all this sort of thing. And it was a case of just working through with them to create the beginnings of their film. Now, my part in this, I've done my sessions and I'm leaving them to it. Now their teachers are going to finish off with them for the rest of the course, for the rest of the, like, the term or what have you. But what you get with these kids is some of them are very, very good. They're really switched on. There's one group where, you know, you get the technical whiz kids. They're pretty good with the computers. And this one group, they actually put together, over the course of this 6 weeks, they put together a little film, which was brilliant. It had sound, it had like a soundtrack, it had special effects, it had different angles, high, low, mid-distance, it had, action, it had everything. It was brilliant. By contrast, there was one group who... it appeared that they hadn't really moved things forward. Week by week, it appeared that they had, but when it came down to it, they weren't happy with their story. They kind of hadn't really developed it. It wasn't just me taking this set of lessons. Their other teachers were there as well. But what it came down to, and there are always kind of different reasons behind this. They were pretty switched on, but... They came to this session not having really got to the point where they should have been. So what we did, this last session, that had been that everyone was going to look at their videos and we were going to talk over them. But with this group, other people got on with their thing. With this group, we sat down and for, I don't know, 3/4 of an hour or something, we worked through a brand new story. We picked the genre, we picked the subject. We discussed different frames. We did a storyboard. We ended up with like a 10-frame storyboard. And as I said to them, it's a bit like trying to navigate your way to the far end of the country. You can do that with a rough idea of the country and the fact that you know there are roads and you know that there is... places to get food and all this sort of thing. But unless you have an idea set about essentially the route you're going to take or the basis for your journey, you may veer across the different roads and different directions. Unless you have that underlying notion of where you're going and where you're heading for, it's going to be a real struggle. And this is the situation they're at. Now, some of the guys in that group were pretty switched on. They were more vocal. They talked through ideas. And others just kind of sat there and were happy to just go along. And that's not unusual. But we were talking over these ideas. And I said to them, you know, they're going to start filming tomorrow on this new idea. And of course, I'm not going to be there. And I said to them, I showed them several sort of reference points. I had showed them, I think last week, a little video that I put together, which was based around camping and... I forget what it was called now. Camping, Cameras and Cold, I think it was. I will link in the show notes. It was just a short sort of 2-minute or something, 3-minute video of a little trip that I made a while back, and it was freezing cold, and it was all about the experience, and it was brilliant. It was really nice, little adventure. So they'd seen that, so we used that as a reference point. I also showed them just some things I happened to have in my bag. So I had a book which I'd brought in to show one of the girls, which was Alastair Humphrey's micro-adventures book. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with it. I'll link to it in the show notes. Very good, because as a reference point, what it enabled me to do was to say, look, this guy is doing these adventures. but he's documenting them, and you can see that there are the close-up shots, the wide establishing shots, the pictures that show subjects doing stuff, like in that case it's preparing a kayak or sitting around a campfire, drinking a cup of tea, all this stuff. And I had that, and I had a copy of Outdoor Fitness magazine, and also had another magazine which was not really relevant, so I didn't really talk about that. But I said to them, okay, look, you're going to be filming tomorrow, so you've got time tonight to go online, to go into Google Images, or to have a look at books on your bookshelf, or magazines, or you know, all these different things. You have the opportunity to get a load of reference pictures. Excuse me, I've got a very dry throat today. I said, you've got the opportunity to check out lots of information, lots of reference points. Just slowing down a bit here because we've got a speed camera. Always have to be careful when I'm driving along and talking that I'm well within my speed limits, what have you. So yeah, it's so important to have these reference points. And I said, when you come to film tomorrow, print a load of this stuff out and just spend 5 minutes going through all of your reference material. And I said to them, I still do that. I have a notebook with pictures that I've printed out or maybe photocopied. It's purely for my own reference point, ideas for shots or stuff that I like about other photographers' work. And I make notes around it. All these things. And I said to them, you can never have too many ideas. It's better to have more ideas and even film those or take the pictures, which ultimately end up on the cutting room floor, which for them was an expression which I kind of had to clarify for a couple of them, because it's a digital world and we don't shoot on film like we used to. But it was just this importance that without the solid idea behind, even if you don't know exactly where the story is going, we started out, actually, the starting point was to say to them, okay, right, we need 4 shots. And this is all filmed on their iPhones and their cameras on their phones. And I said, right, we want an establishing shot, we want an action shot, we want a development shot, and then we want a concluding shot, something to wrap it all up. Now, that would be a very short movie, potentially, and actually, when you think about it, that's kind of the way that Vine works. Those very short little glimpses of, or snapshots of footage, but you can do amazing things with it. So we started doing this, so we had the establishing shot that once we knew that the genre and the subject roughly of the story, how we're going to introduce that to the viewer. The action shot really got things moving. We didn't do any filming with them, this particular group, today, because it was more important to get the solid foundations down. So then we planned out an action shot, a development shot so that the story could move on a bit, and then ultimately how it all wrapped up in the concluding frame. Now, excuse me, just going to grab some water. I've got a very dry throat where I've been talking a lot this morning. Bear with me. Okay, so what we ended up with was a 10-frame storyboard. And it was brilliant because they had low angle stuff, close-ups, headshots, high angle stuff, talking about shooting low down with a subject or an object, set off to one side, so using the rule of thirds for composition, all this sort of thing. And I said to them, look, this is my last session with you guys. Is there anything you don't understand or anything you want to ask a question about? Because now is your chance. And they seem quite happy with that. So I hope that's the case.
these kids, of course, you know, they don't like to necessarily air their thoughts or what have you. Some are better than others. What I've said to this particular school is that whilst this was a 6-week course, I am more than happy to keep coming back and extending, working with other groups or working with other classes, or extending this course to really develop these ideas. Because there's nothing worse than seeing through a project up until the point where you have to, for whatever reason, just say, right, that's it, can't work on it anymore, I can't help you anymore, and what have you. They're at a point where they're able to carry on, and that was always the situation. But it would be nice to continue with them and see what we can do. Anyway, so from a starting point where they're all kind of stood there scratching their heads thinking, you know, our idea wasn't very good to begin with, not really sure, and we've tried some stuff and it didn't work out, and they're feeling a little bit lost. By now, by this point, we have worked through ideas so that they are at a position where they are much happier that they can now start filming tomorrow. And it would be great to see the films, because if their film, their short movie or trailer, is anything like the one that this other particular group who showed it to the class prepared, they're going to do so well in their exam when it comes to grading. But it's funny, you know, I've made a conscious decision over this this year so far to extend my public speaking and my teaching activities, because I enjoy it, and if I can fit stuff in, then I'll do as much as I can. And if you're listening to this and this is something that appeals to you, and you'd like to either speak to me about workshops or working with groups, then obviously give me a shout in the usual way, and that's coming up in the show notes and after the show. I'll tell you how to get in touch. But I just really enjoy sharing this and working through these ideas with people. To sometimes you start from absolute blank page at the outset to having a really solid idea, or not really understanding how to take good, well-exposed, well-composed pictures, and then coming through to being a really accomplished photographer over the course of, say, a day or a weekend. It's amazing what you can do when you just logically work through some basics. And that is the same thing when you're trying to put together a photo story. So, for example, this morning has been taken up with this class. I am just on my way back, and I've still got probably just under an hour to go till I'm back. What I'm going to do, of course, first things first, is put the kettle on to make a cup of tea. Very important. But then I'm going to sit down because I've got to write an article. Something that I've done all the research, and I've taken pictures, and I've done interviews. And it's a picture-led article. It's going to be somewhere in the region of 2,000 words. And I'm supplying somewhere in the region of 15 to 25 pictures. So it's got to be, the pictures have to be solid in their, in the supporting narrative that they're able to offer the words, to bring the words to life. And that is no different to storyboarding, whether you're storyboarding a photo project, a documentary, or putting together a movie. So, you know, it would be nice, like I say, it would be nice to go back to that school and continue with them. Mention is being made, and we will see where it leads. But no, I just wanted to share a few thoughts, because it's, you know, a lot of people, and I know a lot of you guys listening, you're very interested in the cameras, the lenses, the technical, all the shutter speeds and apertures and all that sort of thing. And as I've said many times, being a photographer is 90% people skills, 10% technical. Being a photographer, and that's working with clients and working with people, being a photographer just for your own enjoyment and trying to work on a cohesive story, and it's, you know, it's nice to take standalone pictures, that's to be encouraged, it's brilliant. But if you set yourself a project, so like, for example, every year... if you're just... You know, it's great taking pictures, just one-off, but every year there are people that set themselves projects. One of the most popular is the 365 project, whereby 365 days in the year, and each day you're going to take a different picture. Now, for a lot of people, they are standalone pictures, which is fine. They're nice. It's a case of pushing your photography, trying different techniques, maybe picking a theme. It might be a colour. For example, you might think every day I'm going to photograph something that's yellow or red or something like that. But why not pick a project? So, for example, as I record this now, we are just into July, I think. Yeah, just into July. You have got plenty of time between now and the new year to have a really good think about a really solid project that you want to work with for your photography. And it could be based around your family, your interests, colours, shapes, vehicles, anything you like. You've got loads of planning time. But you've got that chance to get looking on the internet and in books and magazines and visiting places to get some your research done. Plenty of time. So, like I say, a lot of you listen to this because you like the technical stuff, and hopefully I share enough of that, but I think it's equally important, going by the feedback, one of the things that people have told me that they like is, you guys seem to think that the way that I explain stuff is a way that makes photography very accessible, and that's what I strive for. You know, it's not a dark art where there isn't the information and it's difficult to break into or to accomplish great pictures. It's just a case of applying yourself and launching yourself into the whole process. You've got to want to learn. And if you stop wanting to learn, you're never going to be pushing yourself and you're never going to be moving things on. You'll just be stuck with the same old thing. So, for example, with lighting, I have a favourite lighting setup. If I'm working quickly but have a little bit of time, a little bit of leeway to set up more than one light, I'll have a main light, usually in a softbox maybe, and then I'll have a second light off camera striking the subject from behind so that it strikes their shoulder and maybe side of their face, and often that light will be three quarters or opposite to the sunlight or the existing light. So essentially you're working with a three light setup. It's very simple, it's very quick to do, very easy to do. But if I shot and lit all of my pictures, whatever the subject matter, like that, my pictures would all just look the same. I wouldn't get the best out of the subjects. And if I knew I was doing that, knowing that I know the importance of variety, I would always be wondering, is there more that I could get out of this subject? And that is, just to bring it back to this morning, that is exactly what we're talking about. These techniques are there to allow you to get the most out of your subject, the most out of your story, and ultimately the most out of your equipment and whatever you've got at your disposal. Now, these kids were working with, you know, whatever's at hand, and we very deliberately said, okay, look, you guys have all got cameras on your phones. A lot of them are iPhones, a lot of them are sort of Samsungs, good quality lenses for the purpose. You've got all the special effects you can use, the whole Instagram approach. We started off taking stills pictures just to get the ball rolling. Excuse me. And what we did, we broke down those barriers. And the best groups in the class, it really embraced that. And when I said to them, like today, I said, okay, that's a brilliant little film you've done, but what could you do to make it better? They already had ideas sort of waiting to go, that they are waiting to work on to make those little films even better. So, to round off my thoughts on this, you know, the importance of thinking through any shoot. Well, let's talk about photography for a moment. If you're going to do a shoot, sometimes, whether it be for yourself or for a client, sometimes you don't have much information because either the client hasn't briefed you, or if it's for yourself even, you're maybe going to a location where you've never been before. You might have been told a little bit about what to expect, but essentially it's a bit of a blank canvas. The more you can plan, and I say to my clients, the more information you give me, the more we can get the shots that you're after. And once you've got that planning done, then you can start to have fun with knowing that the subject's there, you know you're going to be able to record it nicely, but then you can start to experiment with lighting and technology and ideas that have only come about because you're able to experiment and have fun with it, because you have got the basic structure and the research sorted. So hopefully that makes sense. I know for a lot of you guys, that's going to be like teaching you to suck eggs. You know that it's, you know, why am I going on about it and all the rest of it. However, I do know that there is a wide section of the listenership to this podcast who are just starting out. They don't understand a lot of the stuff which to others of you is second nature and is a given. And so, you know, I am trying to touch a few bases here, but hopefully in the process, those of you that are more accomplished, will there might have been a spark of an idea where you think, oh, do you know what? I hadn't thought of that. Or, do you know what? I'm going to try something like that. It might be that you start your 365 project this month. There's absolutely no reason why any project that you start for yourself can't happen or begin at any time of the year. In fact, it may be that it is beneficial. For me, personally, I know that within my own portfolio, I want to have some fresh portraits. And if you've listened to the podcast recently, you will have heard me talking about projects and photo shoots that I've set up just for myself. You might have seen articles on the Active Photographer website that talk through behind the scenes or the technical side of it. It's very important to keep on your toes. And keeping on your toes is so much easier if you are inspiring yourself by being proactive and just thinking through stuff and keeping yourself interested. And that's what I said to this particular group today. I said, look, time is not your friend now. You need to pick an idea and stick with it. But make sure you pick an idea which is of interest to you, the subject matter and the genre and all this, but that you feel that you can work at and that you all agree on. And I think they did that. So, here endeth the lesson for today. I hope that's been of interest. Look, I always encourage feedback, and I encourage people to chip in and come back at me, whether you agree or not with some of the things that I'm saying. It's an open platform. I welcome your opinions. So, like I say, all of the ways to contact me are coming up in just a few seconds. I really encourage you to get in touch with me, because, yeah, let's keep the conversation rolling. I think it's quite interesting, and it's one that I've had with... Well, I have this conversation with people throughout the year many times, and I think it's just quite interesting. I think it's good that in opening the debate, you get more ideas and it keeps you moving things forward. So, there you go. There are my thoughts for today. Nothing more to add. So, for now, I will leave it there.
If you have a project on the go at the moment, I'd love to hear about it. Be sure to send me a link, and if you'd like specific feedback, I'll be happy to chip in. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or of course, send me a good old fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcasts.